Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's March 18th, 2008, and this is show number 29. On today's show, we interview Jason and Jody Womack, a husband and wife team who help people manage time and increase personal productivity. They're a great example of how to put more life into your work-life balance. We also talk about the rise of work rage, organizing your greeting cards, and a miniature adultitis anecdote.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land where the people sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood podcast show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim saying hi from Studio 315 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or giving us a call at 608-554-0803. And someone here is just became a 30-year-old. And it's not
who
me.
Who is that?
You.
Oh, I'm in.
How's it feel to be 30 years old?
It feels great.
Yeah?
I'm happy to be alive.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's at least 60 more ahead of you.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I plan to live to 111.
111.
Yep. Okay. That's my target goal.
Well, I hope to live to be 112. So take that.
Well, since you're 2 years older than me, then you'll still die before me.
Oh, yeah.
Do the math on that.
Never was too good at math.
No, it was fun.
We've got a good show. We're much more wise and experienced now that we have 230-somethings.
True.
Can finally do without your immaturity.
He laughs because he knows the truth.
Put on a good show. So let's get right into things. Kicking things off with the mind bender question.
Okay.
Here we go. Are you less likely to die?
Oh, okay. This is all this birthday theme stuff, isn't it?
Are you less likely to die by A, falling out of bed,
what?
B, being struck by lightning, or C, being killed by a snake?
Less likely
which is
to die.
Which one of those is the least likely? And how you'll bite the bullet.
I would have to say falling out of bed.
Falling out of bed.
Yeah, because, I mean, you'd really have to fall in a unique way. I fell out of bed hundreds of times as a kid. Trust me, my mom used to have to...
Shocking.
My mom used to have to put a chair on the side of my bed so that it would kind of block the fall a little bit.
I know I speak for all of the listeners when I say that is the most shocking thing we've heard all day.
Just keep rolling and he didn't stop. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. So
and, you know, kids are falling out of bed all the time, so I think that's the least likely way to die.
All right. Well, we'll reveal the answer at the end of the show.
All right.
Okay, Kim, you've got an email to read. It's a little old. Should have read it last time, but we ran out of time.
Yeah, for some feedback here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, "Hey, Kim and Jason, I just got finished listening to your most recent podcast. It was my first. I had been reading your blog for months, but for some reason had not gotten into your podcast. Boy, was I missing out. I loved everything about it. It's so true about the food variety slumps that you get into as you get older. Once you have kids, it just seems that you always go for the convenience and tried and true recipes. You've inspired me, though, to start thinking more outside the box and to bring some new flavors to our table. The Willy Wonka interview was so interesting. Who knew that the flavors would be the easiest part? And nerd jelly beans? Yummy! Can't wait to taste those. I like Laffy Taffy too, but my favorite would have to be the bottle caps. Remember those? You can still find them around Halloween in a variety bag, so I snag them up. I'm so glad that I listened in today, and I won't miss one from here on out. Sincerely, Sarah Lilly.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, what great feedback.
Of course, she's referring to the episode, couple episodes back now,
right,
where we talked with Eric Westner about the Willy Wonka guy
right.
making candy. So,
and you know, Easter is coming up here very soon, so those nerd jelly beans are better hitting the shelves.
Probably out now, yeah. So thanks again, Sarah. If any of you out there listening have any comments, questions, or feedback, we'd love to hear it. Send us an email to podcast@kimandjason.com. Or you can always give us a call at 608-554-0803.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for parents.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
What is the news du jour, Kim?
Well, it's from the HR Zone, and the title is Work Rage Spreads as Stress Takes Hold. Anger at work is increasing, according to a law expert that says as many as 8 in 10 workers suffer from work rage. Peninsula Employment Law Service reported that 7 in 10 believe verbal and yelling abuse is common in the workplace.
Yikes.
Yeah, and further bad news, 91% of those affected said that coworkers failing to pull their weight is the main cause of work rage.
Slackers. Makes me angry.
Are you rageful? Be careful. Deb Gibbons, head of diversity at Peninsula, said work rage can be evident in a number of ways, from swearing, shouting, and yelling through to verbal abuse, threats, or attacks.
Sounds like K&J headquarters.
Okay, I hope not. By determining the causes, an employee can do something about it. It's very easy for someone to lose their temper, but before you do, bite your tongue and think about what the cause is. If it's stress-oriented, then workers need to sit down with management to discuss the problem, because it's something that is not going to just go away. However, if it's a problem with an associate or a coworker, then it's time to sit down with that person and discuss the problem. If that is not the problem, then ask a coworker or a member of management to mediate. Gibbons suggests employers implement a zero-tolerance approach to cap workplace rage by prohibiting verbal abuse or threats of violence, and suggests that employees are encouraged to take breaks and eat lunch. I hope
this
so.
This is ridiculous. If this is really true, we are in trouble. We need...
Well, it is true, because this just came out March 10th. What is that, today?
We need...
Yeah.
People
or no, that was last
out
week.
There to quit their jobs and join us help fight adultitis, because this is out of control. 8 in 10 workers suffer from this. Are there really that many people? There's people just swearing and shouting
threats,
and threatening
attacks.
People. Like,
what kind of environment is that? I'm trying to picture maybe like the stock exchange, like total stereotypes here. But like, what kind of environment? Well, I guess it was
apparently
talking about
most
employers.
Of them. Wow,
you know what though? In some of the jobs I've experienced, it hasn't been as proactive as threats and shouting. It's been more passive aggressive.
Yeah, that
you know,
can,
I've mm-hmm. seen that. Sometimes that's worse than swearing. I'd rather have someone swear and you know like cuss me out than to have like backstabbing and gossip going on.
Yeah,
like revenge kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what. here's an interesting thing though. Kids, if we use children as an example, kids don't know how to be passive aggressive.
No,
right?
No,
they're pretty obvious about things.
Yeah,
I think there's two solutions to this problem. The first one, communicate, which is what the
right.
person is
mediating.
Advocating,
yeah.
talking to one another. Novel concept.
I love how mediation is now this huge like thing, and it's like basically just talking to each
talk
other.
Yeah. So yeah. That's the first key. The second key is, let's not take ourselves so seriously. I mean, seriously. Like, it's
seriously.
A job. It's not something to be crazy about, right?
Well, apparently 8 in 10 workers would disagree with you.
I think it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, I think it's a sign of how many people are in jobs that they don't like because that's probably part of what's bubbling up. They're in jobs that aren't good fits for them, and they're taking themselves way too seriously. So hopefully, maybe our interview that we have coming up will help with some of that, because it helps. We're going to be talking about work-life balance. How do you not only save time, how do you be productive, but how can you put some of this balance in your life? Like this idea of you need to be reminded to take breaks and eat lunch.
Is that even an issue?
If you need to be reminded of that, you're completely having problems. You've got adultitis. And if your boss doesn't allow it, you need to find a new job.
Right.
And if you think that's a crazy statement, you need to listen to the podcast we had a while ago with Penelope Trunk, which said the exact same thing and backs it up. So that's really, I think,
what it all comes down
to. Comes down to. Yeah.
Okay, I am so pumped about this interview because I think that Jody and Jason just have such a unique way of looking at work-life balance, and I'm excited to share that with you guys because, let's face it, work-life balance, it's just totally overused, I mean, the concept. But the way they look at it is so refreshing because it's all about gaining time and what are you going to do with it. So enjoy.
Jason and Jody Womack launched their own training firm to help people make things possible. Their seminars and coaching focus on workplace performance and increasing personal productivity. Jason defines productivity as doing what you said you'd do in the time you promised. They write articles for a number of trade journals and are both currently working on individual book projects. Their work has taken them to the exotic locations of Guatemala, London, New York City, and Las Vegas. They enjoy living in a beautiful yet sleepy town outside of Santa Barbara, California. When they're not working, Jody can be found at the local coffee shop or on the hiking trails above their house. And Jason can be seen running, biking, and swimming through town, getting ready for triathlon season. Welcome, Jody and Jason. Thank you guys for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. Looking forward to talking with you two and hearing what comes up in the interview. Thanks.
Yeah, I hope we don't get too confused with two Jasons here. We'll try to...
That's some fun.
Yeah, sort through it. So we'll just go... The first question, okay? You guys, like us, you're a husband and wife team, but you guys share a very important message. Tell us about what your message and what it is and what drives you to share it with others.
Okay, I'll start in. We're really about helping people get what they need to get done so they can move on and live the life that they'd like to be living. And a lot of what we do is help people within corporate settings, and it seems like it revolves around tools and techniques and speed keys and things of that nature. But I'd say the overall message is really to help people with what they have so that they can get on to what they'd like to be doing.
Jody often talks about quality of life, and Kim and Jason, I think that's one thing that, you know, the four of us espouse, where it's sure about working and working hard and getting the things done that we said we'd get done, but there are the other hours during the day. And so if anything that we bring to the table, or whether it's a corporate seminar or a workflow coaching that we do, or even if it's just a presentation, if we can give somebody back 20 or even 40 minutes per day so they can get back home to their family to have dinner. I had one client recently tell me that he now has half of his Saturday back, where he used to be spending that half of Saturday cleaning up the week and going through his full email inbox. Like Jody just said, a lot of our work seems to be around tools or techniques. Well, really what we're looking at is, what are the methodologies? What's the psychology at work so that when someone shows up, they can give it their all, they can get done what they said they'd get done, kind of like my definition of productivity, so they can get on to the things that are most important to them.
That's awesome. I think the biggest thing of what you said, which is so huge, is what do you do with that extra time? Because most people, I think, take that time and put it back into work and think, oh, I can get more work done now. But that is so refreshing to say, okay, now that you've got that extra time, use it for the other things in your life, with the quality of life, Jason, kind of stuff.
Yeah, Jason, it's the single biggest challenge that my clients face, where we'll walk in, or with an article, we can demonstrate to somebody, here's how you can get back or gain back. And we make a distinction in our seminars. There's things you can do to save time, but then there are other things you can do to gain time. Mm-hmm. And I know later in the interview, Kim, you sent over a question, but I thought I'd just answer it right now.
Yeah.
You know, one thing for people to think about, you can save time by working more efficiently at the computer, or as Jody mentioned, learning speed keys. Right now on our website, we have about a three-minute video that demonstrates to people how much time they can save by learning speed keys or learning how to type with their computer. Those are all time-saving techniques. Let me give you a time-gaining technique. And this is for all the appointments that I have, whether it's a medical appointment, whether it's a client visit, or even a seminar I'm going to present. Hours or a day before the event, I will call in and just make sure that we're still running on time. And I can't tell you how many times a doctor or a dentist has said, oh, you know what, Jason, we're actually running a half an hour late. Can you come in at 9:30 instead of 9? Well, I just gained a half an hour. Now, Jason, where it really kicks in is, what do I do with that half an hour?
Right.
And if I'm like most people, I'll refresh my email inbox or I'll do some busy work at my desk. And Jody likes to talk about the difference between saving and using. And we talk about whether it's financial or time, you know, but if you walk into a store and if you buy a pair of pants on sale, say it's 25% off, so you save $10. Well, you really don't save that $10, you just spent $10 less.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you take that $10, you put it in the bank, you let it gain interest, and later on you take out $15. Well, the same is true with our time. I'm not saving time if I'm getting things done faster. I'm really saving time if I get those things done faster and then apply that saved time toward a walk with my wife, a book that I need to be reading, or even a telephone conference like this.
That's huge.
That's cool. The thing is, what's interesting is one of the things, obviously, we talk quite a bit about, and you guys as well, is this idea of stress and what do we do about that. And there are hundreds of time-saving, time management tools out there, and that's probably conservative. There's probably more than that. But here we are. People are constantly stressed, overwhelmed, and complaining that there isn't enough time in the day. So my question for you guys is, why aren't these tools working for people? Are the tools the problem, or are the people the problem? You know, it's kind of one of those things. You can have a tool, but if you don't use it, it's not going to help you, right? So what's your take on that?
I'll jump in. This is Jody. A lot of times we buy tools hoping they fix a problem, but we're not actually investing the time and energy and effort required to really maximize those tools. And, you know, to see this, just ask someone what all the features are on their cell phone or all the different things email can do. And, yeah, we all know how to place calls or send emails, but there are dozens and dozens of features that are available, yet we don't really invest the time to find out if they're practical or if they could be saving us time. And so that's true in the workplace as well, that we have access to all these great pieces of gear and technology and tools, but we really don't, you know, invest or know how to go about finding out all the things that it could be doing for us. And so that's one thing that we help people, just figuring out how to maximize their tools, because in some cases maybe a file folder would be a better situation than some high-tech piece of software. But until you know what it is you need and what it is the tools can do, there's always going to be a discrepancy, you know, and a little bit of dissatisfaction.
I can see how helpful it must be for you guys to be able to just the little, like you talked about the shortcut keys and the little things like that, because people, we are overwhelmed by the stuff that our computers and our cell phones can do, and I could see where sometimes just telling someone what it is. For instance, we're in a mastermind group, and just the other day, happened to be talking, and I mentioned something about Command A. Now, we use Macs. I don't know what you guys use, but I think PCs, it's probably Control A or something like that. But it was to select all, like to select all the text all at once. And I just said it as an offhand thing, and one of the women there was like, wait, what was that? And
of course, I told her what it was, and it was like this whole new revelation. But, of course, if you don't know it exists, how are you going to know what that is? So I could see those little tips like that that you guys have got to be huge for people who don't have the time to just sit through their manual or look through the help menu. Like, now what is everything this thing can do?
And that specific example, it's like, okay, if you didn't do Command A for select all, that means that you kind of have to like select and drag, right? I'm trying to think of how long that would take in certain documents. That's a huge time saver.
Yeah. And I love how... Go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead, Jody.
I love how that kind of technology has made it into our mainstream conversation. You know, you can control A, this or that. Mm-hmm. And Jason and I are on Macs and PCs. We have two of each, but we definitely prefer the Macs because of the ease. I should say I do. That's my preference. I don't want to know how it works. I just want to know that it's all possible.
Right.
And I'd say that connecting, like having that kind of mastermind group or having key support people that are going to know different things than you know is a real key to being able to figure out technology. Because you're right, not even just knowing what things can do can be a full-time job. And I like what technology can do for me, but I don't like to dwell in it. You know, I'm not a geeky kind of person. You know, I don't love all the technology. Jason, my Jason, he loves gear and he loves to figure out how things can work and what things can do. And he's got the GPS and the heart rate monitor and everything connects and it's awesome.
That's
and
cool.
That's not going to be everybody's MO. But knowing somebody like that, or, you know, it's like getting a trainer at the gym, somebody with a specialized focus that can help you with your learning curve so you don't have to figure those kinds of things out the hard way.
Yeah.
Like dragging.
That's a great segue into what I wanted to share about the tools. And you mentioned for me what is the magic word of workplace productivity or workplace performance, and it's focus. Mm-hmm. And Jason and Kim, I think what happens is people will walk into a big box organization store like a Staples or an Office Max or an Office Depot, and really, what is it that they're selling? And if I walk in, what they're trying to sell me on is productivity and organization. Well, if someone labels their problem, and I hear this over and over again, and I'm sure you do too, if someone labels their problem, they don't have enough time, then they're going to filter. They're going to look through the filter, and they're going to try and find things that will save them or gain them back time. And what I like to do is change the focus a little bit. And instead, I want to walk into Staples and Office Depot, and I want to say, how will these tools help me focus? Because I know if you give me a free hour at my desk, before I know it, I'm off surfing a website, I'm doing my email, I'm printing out a PDF that I just downloaded, maybe I'm downloading a new song, or I'm syncing my iPod. All of a sudden, 60 minutes have gone by, and I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I want to do is help people realize the time they have is the constant. That's the bank account. And, you know, if you want to be very specific about it, there are 1,440 minutes in a day. Mm-hmm. And once those are used, you don't get them back. But what I do with those 1,440 minutes, that's where productivity kicks in. You know, we've all had the opportunity where we sit down, we start to work on something, we get engaged, we get engrossed. Next thing we know, we look down at the clock and we realize that lunch has passed. Mm-hmm. That's the productivity center that I want to be able to play in. So the tools need to answer a different question. And just to end this, no one has enough time. Nobody. So it's not about using time more efficiently. I believe it's using our focus most effectively.
Interesting. I'm always captivated by that concept of, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but that everyone has the same amount of time. But when you look at it in perspective, like I always use an example of like the President of the United States. When people say, I don't have enough time or I'm so busy, it's like you have the exact amount of time that the President of the United States has, and he's probably the busiest person that you could think of and gets a lot done. Or look at someone like Donald Trump or whoever you want to point to, and it's like, the difference is, what are you doing? And I like your concept of using time and saving time and differentiating between that. So it's kind of a neat.
You know what I'd like to do is just offer any listeners a couple of books that might facilitate them understanding or being able to use this a little bit more. One would be, because you guys talked about mastermind groups, I might recommend the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. There's a great section in there on surrounding yourself by the people you'll need to get to where you're going. And then the other one would be, and you only need to read one chapter of this one, it's chapter 2 of the book called The Effective Executive. And Peter Drucker wrote a lot over the 65-plus years that he was writing about management. But this one book and that one chapter is titled Know Thy Time. And he always told us we need to know how we're using the time we have. And that can go a long way in enhancing focus at the workplace.
That's great. Well, be sure to put those in the show notes, too, so people can get right to them. Now you mentioned early already the idea of calling ahead when you have a doctor's appointment.
That's
or something like
tip.
That.
Yeah.
And in your speaking programs, Jason, you share 15 tips for time management, the 15 most powerful and simple tips that will give you 15 minutes more each day for every tip you implement. Could you maybe share one or two more of those that are some of your favorites?
You know, what I'd like to do is I'll share one that's more of a behavioral twist on time management, and then maybe Jody can share one as well. But one that I would want to say, and this is a time gainer, not a time saver necessarily, but I would just ask the readers, the listeners to this, is there a book on the bookshelf or on the nightstand or on your desk that you've been telling yourself you need to read? Now, if the answer is no, then just kind of skip over this part of the interview. But, you know, I know me. I'll collect a book a week, a couple books a week. And when I realized that in order to read a book, I didn't have to spend as much time in it as I used to, I could get through the book much faster and get as much or more content. And so I'll outline this tip. If anybody listening wants me to explain it further, it's on our DVD, and please email us about that. But here's the deal. You need to read a book 4 times to understand it, but you can read a book 4 times in less time than most people would take to read it once. So here you go. Grab a piece of paper. Let me give you this tip. When you grab a book, the first thing I need you to do is to read the table of contents and to read the appendix or index. Now, this will do 2 things. Number 1, the table of contents gives us a lot of information from the author, how she or he frames the book. Is it answering questions? Is it leading us through the 7 steps to whatever? How are they going to lay this book out? Then the index or the appendix, they let us know where the author got their information. Where did it get? How did they get to the conclusions they got to? Now, that one read will take anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes. You can get through those 2 sections. The next time I read a book, I'm reading every bold printed line. So this is the chapter, the subchapter, the sub-subchapter, any words or lines that are in bold, any call-outs that are in the book. Now, a typical business book of 220 to 250 pages, that's going to take me anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes, literally just reading the bold printed lines. Now, what does this do? This gives me a sense of where the author's going, how, again, she or he is laying out the examples, what she or he thinks is important. I go back to the front of the book. Here's the third time I read the book. This is going to take a little bit longer. It's probably going to take about 30 to 45 minutes. But when I was a student, about 5th or 6th grade, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I learned how to write an expository essay. Mm-hmm. Now, with nonfiction books, they're basically laid out just like an expository essay, where what they do is they give us the introduction, the body, and the conclusion. But every body paragraph has a topic sentence. So here's what I do. I read the first sentence of every paragraph of the entire book. Not the second and third sentences, but just the first sentence. Why? Because that gives me the topics of what we're going to be reading about. Now, so far, you can tell I've invested about 45 to 55 minutes into this book. The fourth time I read the book, if I do, I go back in and I spot read any sections that I think were interesting or I need to get back to. You can get through one business book in one sitting and actually gain more information than someone who reads it cover to cover, word by word.
Fascinating.
Wow. That's huge.
Well, and I imagine you're not bogged down with all these extra details either, so then it helps you retain what the core message of the book is.
Mm-hmm.
Jody, did you have one that you wanted to add?
One of the tips?
So I'll go back to the one that we mentioned earlier about speed keys, because I think it's worth repeating, and they're changing all the time. And the good news is that there's a cheat sheet every time you use a program. When you click on the menu bars across the top, whether you're in your email program or something really basic like Word or Excel, as you pull down the drop-down menus, off to the right will be the little symbol and letter for whatever the speed key is for that command. And I don't know if Jason can jump in, but there are statistics on how many times we reach for our mouse and how much time that takes. And it's something like 12 to 20 minutes a day is taking your hands off of your keyboard and putting them on your mouse so that you can select the drop down.
Wow.
So if you can, you know, bypass that process and get right to the speed keys of Command S for save or Command A for open or all, you know, those types of things, those types of little investments, they're probably more like pennies than dollars if you were thinking about it like money, but they do add up. And we create a website with a page on our site with shortcuts keys for Mac and PC, and then there's also the snippet. It's tip number 14 from Jason's DVD, and that has a quick 3 to 4 minute presentation on all the different ways you can use the speed key. So that's one that I really encourage, and it's one of those things, it's kind of like learning vocabulary of another language, because computers are another language. It's, you know, you like you, Jason, saying, you know, you said Control A in a meeting, and somebody's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's a new language, and it's a new way of being with people. So learn a vocabulary word, you know, learn a speed key a week and see how those kinds of changes add up.
I have to say, too, that on a personal, completely superficial level, it makes you feel really cool, because I spend a lot of time...
That is the most important thing.
it has its benefits. I spend a lot of time in Photoshop with doing the graphic stuff, and every once in a while when someone catches me, you know, working on something
typically on a plane.
They're like, oh my gosh, you're so fast. And it's like, it's really, I just
you're
know
magic.
Like,
yeah.
I just know like five different things, which are the ones I use most often. So it's like, you know, makes it look like I'm this genius or something like that. So, you know,
he enjoys that.
Makes it feel cool after a little while. So yeah, just adding a few of them can have that effect.
Now, Jody, you had mentioned last week when we were talking about, you know, our interview and everything, that last year that you and Jason logged about 8 weeks of vacation time. Now, tell us about your perspective. We talked a little bit about the balance, but what's your perspective on the work-life balance and one's quality of life?
Well, this is relatively new for us, Jason and I being able to take that much vacation time together. And it really came out of a focused desire. And about a year and a half ago, we both left our day jobs working for another corporation and decided to launch our own company. And in doing so, part of the goal was to create this quality of life that we were striving for. And part of that is time together, time at home, as well as time in the world and visiting places that we have a desire to be in and see and experience. So part of Jason's work is delivering these seminars in-house to clients, and you mentioned some of the cities earlier in the bio, and what we've been able to do is extend those trips and visits. And I don't know if I mentioned yet, but I'm heading off to Costa Rica tomorrow, and while I'm there, I'll be attending a conference. And so this quality of life, it's not free, and it doesn't just happen by accident, in as far as I can tell. We've had to, you know, really think about what kind of life we'd like to be leading and how we'd like to contribute in the world. So It's going very well, and you know, I feel very successful, and I think that's one of the measurements, is that quality of life.
When I was a high school teacher, I had pretty much cracked the code. That is, I found the way to be able to do everything. And back in the mid to late 90s, the way that I got everything done was I just went to work earlier than anybody else, and I stayed at work later than anybody else. And Kim, you know, you used the word balance. Any semblance of a balance I had, sure, my life was balanced. I just worked all the time.
Right.
You know, it was that kind of thing. And what I realized in that experience, and then in the kind of 8 years hence, has been that the idea of balance for me personally has always been to up-level the way that I engage and the way that I learn in my world. So with the engagement part, you know, maybe I'll step out and submit a proposal to a client that is a little bit bigger than I've normally worked for, or we'll submit an article to a magazine that's a little bit bigger than what we've ever submitted an article to. So that's kind of my way of stepping up my engagement. On the personal side, you know, this year I'll be competing in a longer distance triathlon for me. It'll be about a 6-hour race.
Wow.
And what I found is anytime I get to a point where my life is somewhat in balance, not imbalanced, but in balance, all of a sudden I add something new to it. So my level of engagement necessitates some way to manage it all. Some, you know, Jason, back to time management, right? In order to train for a race like that, I need to log about 12 hours of training per week. Well, when are you going to find that? And it's really this idea of how do I plan my work, and back to the how do I work my plan. And so as far as the vacation time, you know, we sat down in January of 2008 and we put the weeks of vacation on our calendar. Something else we did that Jody didn't mention, but we put the weeks, 1 week per month on the calendar when we were going to be at home together in Ojai working on product, writing our books, writing our articles, recording our video programs. And that's already on the calendar. So if a client calls and says, hey, can you come out on this such and such a date, if that's in the books for product development, then we keep that agreement.
That's interesting, because a lot of people would say, no way, you gotta take that. A client calls, that's
take it when you can
money
get
in the
it.
Bank kind right. of thing. So that's fairly counterintuitive to where a lot of people are. But again, maybe that's why you're so successful.
Well, I think the most important thing that a person can do, and this may be one of the tips that we start to close the interview. I know we have a time budget here. One of the things, if you want to reduce your stress and if you want to increase your engagement, your self-esteem, or your ability to get things done, by far the best advice or the best words I could share with someone are keep your agreements with yourself. And the moment I put something on the calendar, if I break that agreement, I just broke trust. I broke confidence. I broke what a deal is. And, you know, if you want to test, just go out into your world and look at people who are the most stressed. In my experience, they were the ones who overcommitted to themselves, to their family, to their boss, to their company, and they underdelivered. They said they would do too much. So what we do is we try and model the behavior that we share with the world, which is make your agreements, make your commitments, and then work toward those so that you can complete what you said you would complete.
That's great advice.
That is awesome advice.
So as we do kind of wrap up, and it's one of those things that we could probably talk to you guys for another hour if we could.
At least.
But we always like to ask people in the line of childhood, what did each of you want to be when you grew up, when you were a little kid? What would that have been for each of you?
I wanted to be Mighty Mouse.
Really?
And honestly, it's probably because I'm about 5'4" with shoes on. I am energetic, I'm persistent, and I won't quite say I want to save the world, but I would love to be known as someone who helped the world.
That's pretty good.
Fun. That's very cool. How about you, Jody?
I had thought of two things when I saw this question, and the first one was a mermaid, because I always thought that would be so much fun. And the second was, I wanted to be my dad's secretary.
Really?
Because then I could go to work with him. Yeah.
Huh.
As a little girl, he always went off to work, and he traveled a lot for work, and I just thought, well, if I was his secretary, then I could go too, and I get to spend a lot of time with him. So that was kind of funny to think about.
That's
yeah,
cool.
That's interesting. Well, the reason we always ask that is that we have found pretty consistently around our travels and conversations with people that, you know, the what you wanted to be when you were little, there is a connection to maybe what you should be doing as a grown-up, and not that, you know, you have to drop everything, Jason, and go be Mighty Mouse, however that would work. But like those, like you said, like what about Mighty Mouse? You answered it for us. What about Mighty Mouse, you know, is... did you like, and what about that did you want to emulate? And it's kind of neat to see that connection.
I'm not sure where the mermaid connection comes in, but that might just require a little bit more thought to think about.
There's something magical about mermaids. I don't know. Do you swim or anything, Jody, or is there just...
I love the beach.
Do you?
I love the beach. So that's my heaven on earth, yeah, so... but it's funny when you say that the other piece of working with my dad or being his assistant is working with Jason. I do get to travel with him. And that's, you know, always been a goal and a dream and really something that's so important to our personal relationship is the time we spend together is, you know, and choosing that.
Yeah.
That's a biggie.
Yeah,
huge.
That's one of the big ones for us, too, being able to work together and travel and tack on those extra days when you're out on the road to do some fun stuff. So.
And I have to say, yeah, it's so cool to hear you guys, you know, here you are out in California. Jason and I made a comment or, you know, whispered to each other a second ago, we can hear the birds. And you said, Jody, that you're outside. We can hear your birds.
Which is nice because
cool.
I'm pretending that they're birds outside my window right now. Our birds are not quite all the way back yet, but it's nice to have that sense that spring is coming. So.
Yes. I've seen the preview, and it's lovely.
Well, thank you, Jason and Jody Womack, so much for taking the time to be with us and share some of your advice and thoughts and I'm looking forward to catching up with you guys in the future. And again, just thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be with us.
Yeah, these tips and your example of the life that you've created is just hugely inspirational for all of us. So thank you so much.
Well, Kim and Jason, we really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and just be reminded again to escape adulthood. It's a good way to go.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Safe travel.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, one thing I always enjoy is talking to other couples who are in business together.
Yeah.
We should probably have them back sometime to talk about that dynamic. But I think what's neat is how they are so smart and have so many great tips about time management, how to save time, how to create time. And yet they still maintain the balance, the work-life balance, where a lot of people, it's more of like a work-work balance, like he talked about in his younger days of, you know, get in early, stay late, and you're just always working. And I think when you have that efficiency that you get to, it's so tempting to, like, pour it back into work. And it's really neat to hear their example of using that time for something else.
Yeah, very cool.
One of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Wheel of
Fish. Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
Last episode, we had the promotion where we asked the question, what's your favorite thing to do in the snow? And the winner... I think we picked basically because it made us both laugh out loud.
Yeah.
When we saw it.
She obviously doesn't take herself too seriously.
It was Michelle Rosborough. And what did she say, Kim?
She said her favorite thing to do in the snow is to throw it at her kids.
Ah, that's a good one.
So good. And she's from Riverside, California. So thank you, Michelle, for sharing that. We are going to send you out a $20 gift certificate to the lemonade stand. And hopefully you can get some fun things to share with your family.
And for this month, we asked the question, what is your favorite time-saving tip? All right, we just got talking about saving time, creating time, using time.
I can't wait to try Jason's tips about reading books.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So we ask you, everyone's got their little favorites. Could be anything. Could be work-related. Could be in the kitchen, whatever. What is your favorite time-saving tip? Email it to us at podcast@kimandjason.com or leave a message on the voicemail line at 608-554-0803, and the winner will get a $20 gift certificate to the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand.
Welcome to kimandjason.com.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Well, one of the biggest little updates.
The biggest little update?
It's little. It's mini. We've been working with a publisher called Running Press for well over a year now. And they were interested in our book, Escape Adulthood. And basically, they decided to make it into the smallest book known to man.
And they used the same device as they used on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Have you been familiar
with
that?
Is that how they did it?
Yeah. They took the book, put it in the machine with that dog, and then they just shrunk it.
I think that understates how much work
I know
Teresa put into that, our editor. She took my book and basically made me feel very long-winded because she boiled down the book into this very tiny book, hardcover, no less, full
right.
color, and it's called Escape Adulthood, and they make these mini books that you've probably seen around. They'll take, like, Stephen Covey's, you know, Seven Habits book, and they made that into a mini book, and you'll see them at Barnes & Noble. So,
It's like, what is this, about 1.5 inches by 1.5 inches?
Yeah, it's probably about 2 or 3 inches by 2 inches,
yeah,
something like that.
Pretty tiny.
It's very cool. It's perfect for people who don't particularly like reading.
but still want to learn.
Or need to have books with pictures.
Yeah, there's lots of full color pictures.
So the book is coming out, this is terrible, what is it?
March 31st.
March 31st, yeah. You can pre-order it on Amazon.com right now. We'll probably have it on our store as well. But it's really cool. That's one of the neat things that we're excited about. So
everything smaller is cuter, isn't it?
It's a pretty cute book.
Like Mini-Me?
Yeah.
He's cute.
Yeah,
he is.
He's cuter than Dr. Evil, I'll give you that. Okay, so that's what's going on. We're in a little bit of a little break here these last couple weeks from speaking, and we'll be getting back on the road again in April.
Yes.
Busy schedule, so... we'll just throw this out there in a shameless plug. If you are part of any organization or association that is looking to bring two 30-year-old kids and
bring that up again.
If you're looking to bring someone in for a program that will talk about stress, talk about work-life balance, talk about bringing in some fun into your day-to-day, We're the people to hire. So give us a call. We'd love to work with you guys. I have a lot of fun things that we do with Cross. I'm babbling now. I'm just a great salesperson.
I'm just watching you.
Yeah, I know.
You're not usually in the sales role.
It's
so this
making
is quite...
me very uncomfortable.
He's very red. He matches the book cover.
but we have fun. So, you know, check out our website if you're interested in that. And that's
a good time.
Explains it a lot.
Everybody's
better.
Bringing in boring speakers. It's time for a change, right?
Yeah, we are not boring.
No.
Not at all.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, this is the cool thing segment where we normally highlight something from the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand. This one ties in good with this topic, doesn't it? The whole time management organization
thing? It's a greeting card organizer, and it's a three-ring binder type setup, hardcover, where there's different sections and folders to be able to help you organize your different holidays and greeting cards for all the different events that you're sending
holds
cards
up
for.
To 240 cards or so, I believe.
Yeah. And, you know, I can speak for myself because I happen to carry the task of being the card sender in our relationship and our family. And
that is correct.
it can be a little crazy. And, you know, I feel like I have an advantage because we have a plethora of cards at our fingertips with all the Kim and Jason greeting cards. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of grab what I need when I need it. But people, you know, before that, it's like you have certain cards lying around and then that one doesn't fit the person. And boy, you needed to send it 2 days ago and now you need a belated card and the whole rigmarole. And so in talking about organizing and time management, this is one of those tools that once you have it, you can't live without.
And one of the things I like the most about it is it's got, of course, the tab dividers for all of the holidays, and it's got tips for writing, like what do you write in the card. It's got tips for that. It's got like the birthday symbols, which I don't know if anyone actually needs to know that anymore, of like what's the birthstone, what's the flower, all that kind of stuff.
Meaning, yeah.
And it's just kind of neat. Keeps track of birthdays, holidays, all the cards. It's a cool thing. What do we sell them for? I think they're about $21, $22.
Yep.
And they're a pretty cool thing. So check it out. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. The greeting card organizer at the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand. Okay, well, about to reveal the answer of the Mindbender question, which was, are you less likely to die by A, falling out of bed, B, being struck by lightning, or C, being killed by a snake?
You know what I realized? That when I was a kid, I would have answered differently.
Yeah?
I would have thought you could have gotten killed by falling out of bed because that means that you would be exposed to all those monsters that are right under there. So as soon as you fall out...
falling out of bed, just having your foot dangle was dangerous business, right?
So you don't want to fall. Probably would have voted for the snake thing when I was little.
Okay, so but you still think that falling out of bed is the least of these three.
Yes.
Least likely to die.
Yep.
The actual answer is killed by a snake.
Really?
You're less likely to get killed by a snake than you are to fall out of bed and die or get struck by lightning and die.
Whoa. And all people are so freaked out by snakes.
Yeah. Well, falling out of bed, you have a 1 in 2 million chance of dying by bed falling.
1 in 2 million?
Falling out of bed, yeah. I guess, well, bed falling is probably not the correct term because I wonder, I don't know, like if a bed falls on you, that might be another thing. But falling out of bed, you have a 1 in 2 million chance of dying of that.
Okay.
You also have a 1 in 2 million chance of being struck by lightning.
Wow.
And dying. Snakes, however, you have a 1 in 3 million chance of being killed by a snake. So that's quite different than quite, what am I saying? Much help me help you.
That's a lot of people. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
That's more. Not, people think you really would get killed by snakes. And yeah, hire me as a speaker. I'm really, really good, as you can tell. This is my audition. Yeah. So.
No. That,
so
does that surprise you? Interesting. Well, so basically, you know, I'm just thinking back. When we would be outside playing and it would start to storm, my parents would be like, get in, you know, you don't want to get struck by lightning. It's like, that was the same amount of chances as falling out of bed and dying.
Yep.
Like, if you think of it that way, I should have stayed outside to play. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I don't know.
But regardless, people are dying from it.
Yeah.
So, it's still not good, but interesting.
So, there you have it. That's our lighthearted take on dying. So, we'll... Tune in next time for the
Mindbender
answer.
This show's quite a Debbie Downer, like rage workers and death.
Exactly. All the more reason why you need to be more childlike and not take yourself too seriously because there's enough adultitis out here for all of us that we need to stand up and rise against it.
What's up, Doc?
Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Today's prescription will be fairly straightforward, although challenging nonetheless. When you find that you've been able to save or even create some time in your work life, remember to invest that time somewhere else, like meaning not in work, right? Read a book, go for a walk, do something else you've been wanting to do. Don't always just add more work to your plate. You know, that's like the people say, we have microwaves now and all of these time-saving devices, our cell phones, our email, and yet people are more busy than ever, and all this stuff was supposed to give us more time and make things easier. It only gives you more time if you take that time and invest it somewhere else. And so that's the prescription, is to spend more time doing the things you enjoy, you love. Maybe there won't be so much work rage all the time, right?
Exactly. Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.